We're privileged to have John Mason representing Nisupi.
Local 22.
On strike for 117 days. We have Jennifer Watts, sitting councilwoman, District 14.
Hello.
And we have John Thibault, the Occupy candidate hopeful for District 10.
Hi, Moss.
John Mason, can you describe your situation?
Yeah, like I said, 117 days. I always look at it, this Wednesday will be 17 weeks. We are the maintenance, security, and housekeeping of Cole Harbour Place. And a lot of our members are making 1037. Some of them have been there for nearly 30 years. That we do not feel is anywhere near to be fair. And it's been this way for years and years because when HRM amalgamated, they decided to go to the backdoor entity and hire a board of directors. And when we talk to board of directors, we are getting the runaround and said, well, you need to get back to the table. We can't do nothing. And of course, the president and secretary of the board of directors is the management that we are trying to get the fair wages from. So we feel like we're in a rock and a hard place. When we need any funding, we need any equipment or any upgrades at all, go right straight to HRM. No problem. But once we start fighting for wages or talking wages at all, we have nothing to do with HRM. You need to talk to the board of directors. So it's a big vicious circle, right? And we just want to know why HRM is not stepping in and say, I mean, it's not a huge amount that we're asking for. And this could be over just as so, you know, soon, and we don't understand why it has gone on for so long. I mean, we're strong. We're going to stay there strong, and we're going to go for what we want, and we're not going to back down. But then there's the common sense of it all, tell you the truth, you know? I mean, I don't understand it.
117 days seems like long enough to me to get any mix-up as to who's the exact employer figured out, whether it's HRM, who's providing you things, not necessarily signing your checks. Jennifer Watts, I hate to put you on the spot. I know it's not your district, but where is this issue on HRM's radar? It seems to be flying way under it.
Yeah, it's from my experience, it's not on the radar. I mean, I think, when I've asked about it, it's been a similar response, that it's not, who's your contract actually with?
Our contract is with Cole Harbour Place.
Okay.
And when I say that, no, actually, they say it's the community builders. They're the ones that...
Community board?
Community builders. That's what they're calling... That's what they put the name to the board of directors.
Okay, the board of directors. Okay. So, you know, I mean, I guess for me it's a question, you know, the legality, not saying to hide behind that, but I think that's probably what's happening here, is that your contract's with a group, which is, I guess, the community builders, the community board, and so that's where the negotiation would have to happen, is between those two groups. What the role of HRM is in that, like I sit on the Halifax Forum Board, and, you know, most of the employees are members of the of HRM, you know, they're unionized members, and it's all this different way of how the boards have been developed over the time, which frankly I find is my own experience is somewhat confusing and very varied. And we're actually in a whole process right now of looking at all the long-term or the multi-district facilities and doing an analysis of them about, well, what exactly is the relationship right now, what things need to change, how do things need to be improved. And part of that is some of the discussion that's happening around the long-term rinks. So this is a very long, convoluted response to say that there's a very different history with different organizations, depending when they came in and how they came in during amalgamation stuff.
And I'm not saying anything against that, but, and that's that conversation I've had with Peter Kelly.
Yeah.
And Peter Kelly said the same thing. We've been looking into it, you know, mm-hmm. to find out if, you know, this building mm-hmm. is municipal, if it's a regional. Mm-hmm. I mean, how long have you been amalgamated? Mm-hmm. Is it going to, it just took you this long, or is mm-hmm. it taking you this long to find out what is, why couldn't they have taken them all under their wings in the first place? I mean, in my eyes, not to be disrespectful mm-hmm. to anybody, mm-hmm. it seems like they're like hiding behind their mother's skirt or something, you know, mm-hmm. because, I mean, they handle everything else in there. Why can't they handle the wages? I mean, there's a point where, you know, I understand that we've got to deal with a certain contract of people or whatever. But, you know, when it comes up to 17 weeks now, I mean, come on. I mean, it's not a huge deal. Like I said, it's time for somebody else to step in and say, come on, get this done. And even if they don't do it themselves, get in there and say, come on, get this done. Strike over, excuse me, I almost said something, to get this strike over with, you know, because, I mean, you know, this is unfair. I think they're just, you know, it's just, in my opinion, and I don't mean to be this, it's rude now. You know, I mean.
Yeah. When we last spoke, I think it was down at Grand Parade in the spring, the end of the spring, and I thought what was indicated, that you were about to have a meeting or something was going to happen. I think that's the last time.
And don't get me wrong.
And what happened there? Did it not? Because I sort of left
we
that
did have like
we,
last week we've had negotiations, we've had talks, but I think we're somewhat close, but yet then somewhat far away, you know, and there's things that have to be ironed out and everything, and I mean, from the last time we were talking, it's not as dead as it was then, right? I mean, we've had, like I said, just we had the one talk, but unfortunately it was a 100% rejection on the offer.
On the part of the
part of our union.
Let me just introduce John Thibault to this discussion here.
That's all right.
John, you've seen the wheels of municipal government turn at varying speeds when, for example, you need to be evicted from a park. It's very quick. Seems to shift into fifth gear. Perhaps when you're making 40 cents above minimum wage, things take 17 weeks. If elected to District 10, how do you think this might change if you were in power?
Well, I think that priorities would be changed a little bit. Obviously, I don't want to get too much into what you were referring to there with the Occupy eviction, but I mean, something like that, there was different ways of handling it. But, you know, it's time that, you know, the priorities start being set on taking care of our workers. I mean, it's great that you're out here, Miles, doing this story, because up until just today, I hadn't really heard much about your lockout going on, which is really surprising, because I do read a lot of the media and I get informed on all these things. And I just remember when the Elizabeth Fry Society went on strike for a little while there, and they got all kinds of media attention, and that brought a quick resolution to it, I felt. And so it's really good that Miles is down here doing this story, and it'll help encourage other media outlets to come out and do the story too, and maybe get some resolution to it. Now, as far as the situation, I'm not as well informed as the union members or Councillor Watts here, but it just seems to me that if you've got HRM dealing with one part of something and somebody else in a private position dealing with something else, is a problem there, and it needs to be looked at and needs to be addressed. Now, if HRM can or can't do something about the wages, I don't know, but if they can't, well, the least they can do is start trying to apply public pressure to the people that can, getting on them, because it's no good for any person in the city to be out of work, whether they're a union member or whether they're not. There's no reason for them not to be able to work when they have jobs waiting for them, and all that's holding them back is a little bit of dignity with a pay raise. So, by all means, it's time that if it's been 17 weeks, we get this thing on the road and get it pushing. And even if that just means councillors or city staff, or councillors or the mayor standing out on their own and saying, hey, listen, it's time that we do something about this. These people need to get back to work, then that'd be it. I mean, but if they can do more from the inside, from the bureaucratic side of things, then definitely it needs to be done.
Well, that's one of the issues we had a long time. I mean, we understood that maybe HRM can't do it, you know, financially or whatever. But, you know, at least there's that they have some kind of, I think, a legal binding that we should be able to put pressure on Cole Harbour Place, you know, say, get this over with. It's time. I mean, you know, if they can't do that financial, fine. But, you know, why can't the councillors do something and just at least, like we've had absolutely, and beside yourself, councillors have really done nothing for us. Every time we go up to talk to them, it was just like we're shunned off, and, you know, and we can't really do anything. You know, you need to talk to this person or that person, and, you know, and we just feel like we've been left out in left field, you know. I mean, why? Like, I don't understand it.
Now, Jennifer, I know being an on-peninsula councillor is a tough job, because a lot of things get decided through off-peninsula votes. I live right beside you. I see you riding your bike every day. I appreciate your efforts in council. What can you do for Nasupi Local 22 at this point?
Well, I mean, I guess that's the question, is that technically if the contract's not with HRM, there may be some difficulty. But I really appreciate your point, though, of saying of, you know, approaching either through the area counselor or directly with the board and saying, is there a way to get this negotiated? I mean, I don't mind following through with my council colleagues and saying, you know, well, what can be done in this particular case. With, you know, the technicality of the contract, I don't know legally what is possible in terms of that, but in terms of sort of almost like more moral support in terms of let's get this thing resolved, I can certainly
contact
that.
Appreciate that, yeah. Because, like I said, everybody's saying, yeah, we can do this, or I'll look into this, or, you know, and not a word from anybody, right? And I don't know you much, and I just wanted to know. I want to know, you know. You can take my number, your email, and call me, you know, let me know at least that you've tried, or there's something going to be able to at least be tried to happen to, resolve this. I mean,
maybe we can all see this be a campaign issue in October.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, anything that has to do with getting people jobs and making the economy more stable and making sure that people are living with a good standard of living is obviously an election issue all the time. It shouldn't even be just around election time. It should be all the time. Government representatives should be concerned with what's going on 4 years, every year, every day out of those 4 years that they're elected for, and not just in the last 3 to 4 months before an election. It's lip service, and it's just plain rude. I've seen a lot of this happening over the last few months. Councillors that have been quiet or haven't been doing very much in their communities or in the city, and now all of a sudden they've got all kinds of things to say, all kinds of organizations to support, things to build, and, you know, like the free transit for seniors. It's a really great initiative, but the timing of it is just before an election. It's going to run through the election, and then it's going to stop just after the election, leaving it in the hands of a new council, which is going to put them in a rock and a hard space. This was not something that was thought out, and I actually have a beef with that, since you're recording this, is that I'd propose that we allow free transit for people with voter ID cards on election day on October 20th, but it was shot down because the cost would be about $84,000 for that day. And yet it's only going to cost $50,000 for free seniors for 3 months. I'd like to know where the math was done on that. Who did the math?
I'm not
that one day for voters is 80 grand and 3 months for seniors is 50.
Time to do some math in October. Thanks very much for all your time.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Appreciate it.